Beautiful. In the busyness of our lives, we seek a place of peace. In the conflict and turmoil of the world, we gather together to create hope. In the face of life's struggles, we are called to practice love. In times of doubt and sadness, we look for a way to joy. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link. That's our email newsletter that gives you all sorts of information about things happening in this and the broader community. And if you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground down front, which is like standing room only today, lovingly staffed nursery care, and Sunday school after a baptism this morning. We are just about halfway through, more than halfway through Advent, so a few announcements about what's coming up over the next few weeks. Today is the last day to order your poinsettias, which will be in the sanctuary for Advent 4, which is next Sunday, as well as Christmas Eve. Or for those in person, orders will be taken today in the upper narthex. Folks at home, you can contact the church office and we'll help you with that. We have the community vigil tonight at 5 p.m. right here in the sanctuary. This is a precious time to gather in community to think about those who are living with addiction and have died from addiction, and be together with family survivors and offer support and community. Once we're on the other side of the Christmas holiday, we're gonna have our New Year's brunch. That worship service on December 29th will be led by Reverend John Wegraff, and Heather is helping to set up the brunch, so lots of help would be appreciated for that service. And finally, we have a new addition to our Advent artistry this morning, this beautiful quilt made by Pam Lathwood. It pulls together the themes that, if you've been following along in the Advent devotional, the images in the devotional Pam has incorporated onto this quilt, which is just beautiful. Thank you, Pam. We gather in the season of Advent in the Christian tradition, knowing that this is the start liturgically of a new year, a moment of beginning. And at a moment of beginning, it can be helpful to set an intention. What do you hope to bring to life in this time? Maybe the intention is to make room for joy, to see it as a necessary practice in a broken world. I invite you to set an intention just for the hour ahead. As you listen to the sound of the bowl fade away, I invite you to breathe deeply, opening your hearts to God's joy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Pam, all day long, and tomorrow too. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response will be, "May there be room for peace in our hearts."
Pam, I gave you the wrong
Edit. Okay, so for folks at home, that's joy, not peace. Peace is okay too, but we're gonna say joy. In defiance of the world's pessimism, may there be room for joy in our hearts, even when we don't quite feel like it. May there be room for joy in our hearts, knowing it can start small and grow. May there be room for joy in our hearts. Amen. Our opening hymn is Lift Up Your Heads, O Mighty Gates. You are invited to rise in body or in spirit.
Please be seated. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, the time of remembering that God comes to us in amazing ways, including through the birth of a tiny, helpless child. With this Advent wreath, we prepare for God to come once again. The round shape of the wreath reminds us of the unbroken love of God. The green branches speak of new life found in relationship with God. The candles proclaim the light that God brings into our lives. This morning, we light the third candle in our Advent wreath. This is the candle of joy.
All around us, people are suffering. Families are struggling. Racism and oppression continue. We ourselves are, at times, overwhelmed by pain. In the midst of this, how can we find joy? But the joy of Advent comes from the message the angels proclaim. We don't need to be afraid, for God is with us. No matter what we go through, we do not go alone. The storms of life will find us, but God will never leave our side. And so, we can embrace joy daily in the bird's song, the child's laughter, the friend's company, as we light the candle of joy and relight the candles of peace and hope. The flickering of the flame reminds us that we must hold on to joy in order to keep God's light shining in this world. As we light the Advent wreath, let us join together in the verse of Hope is a Star in your bulletin and on the screen.
Thank you.
I'm back. Through a series of experiments by two Princeton psychologists, we learned that it only takes a tenth of a second for us to form an impression of a stranger. It only takes a tenth of a second for us to look at someone's face and make up a whole story about them. So let's look at each other this morning, ready to make a snap judgment that each stranger in our midst is beautiful, holy, and whole. Let's look at each other, not with fear or suspicion, but with overflowing joy. Folks at home, may you feel your place in this circle of peace. In person, we can greet each other with a bow or a wave, then we'll join together in our song of celebration. God's peace be with you, and also with you. You too.
Thank you.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, according to Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew was writing to a community that was trying to figure out what it meant to be Jewish and follow the way of Jesus. Too often, it wasn't clear what the right thing to do was. So Matthew starts the story of Jesus' life with a conundrum for the man who would become Jesus' father, a moment of great conflict when Joseph had to choose how to follow God and God's law. Hear Matthew's version of Jesus' birth. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. These are our sacred stories. May we have the vision and wisdom to live them. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pam. We are so lucky to have a baptism today, so we're just going to scramble around and get ready for that. Mm-hmm. You're back on.
While we're scrambling, I want to invite the children to come get a better, closer look if you want to see the baptism. We have some seats right here in the front. So come on over if you want to watch.
While the kids are coming. From the beginning of time, men and women have brought their children to religious communities to be baptized and blessed. In the presence of family, friends, and the spiritual community, children are given their names, and parents and godparents declare their responsibility and commitment to their children. We have gathered together for such a purpose today, to bless and baptize Olivia Lise Sredder. In celebration of the light of God that dwells within Olivia, Sarah Lynn will light a candle for her baptism. And we invite Olivia to come forward, bringing with her her parents, Alicia and Mark, her big brother, Liam, and her godparents, Christy and Austin. Oh. Christy and Austin, one of you gotta come over here.
Hear these words by W. Waldemar W. Argon. "We are your children. Out of the infinite, we have come to you and through you. We are the old, yet ever new. Miracle of incarnation. Give us a chance to grow within the warmth of your unfailing love into souls sensitive to beauty, hearts open to love, and hungry for the imperishable values of life. Do not shrink and wither us with fear, but quicken with faith the springs of courage within us.
Mark and Alicia, in bringing Olivia to be blessed and baptized, you acknowledge that this child is a gift from the universe entrusted to your care, and you invite all of us to share some of the joy and responsibility that is yours as parents. You seek our support in your dedication to the task of fostering with love and guidance the fullest unfolding of the personality of your child. This ceremony reflects not only your gratitude for the child who has come into your family, but your understanding of the seriousness of the responsibilities you have undertaken as parents. So, do you now commit yourselves to the best of your ability to parent this child with compassion, respect, patience, and love? Will you accept her and cherish her for who she is and who she will become? Remember, if she wants to go, it's okay to go. Will you help her to believe in herself and in the goodness of the world? Do you promise to do everything within your power? A grandparent will watch her. To strengthen and guide her on a path of peace, generosity, respect, and compassion. If so, please answer, I will. Good job. The act of choosing godparents is an ancient tradition based on the wisdom that no matter how dedicated parents are, as you can see, no one can raise a child alone. Both parents and children need the support and friendship of a whole bevy of other loving adults. Alicia and Mark have chosen Austin and Christy to be Olivia's godparents, knowing that they have a whole bench as needed. Christy and Austin, by agreeing to be Olivia's godparents, you are agreeing to a special relationship with her. Do you now commit yourselves to the best of your ability to be a friend, mentor, and teacher to Olivia throughout her life? Will you accept her and cherish her for who she is and for who she will become? Will you help her to believe in herself and in the goodness of the world? If so, please answer, I will.
I will.
Thank you. Olivia has a wonderful big brother, Liam. Liam, we're asking you to make some promises today as well, and I appreciate that you have added your own twist to these. Do you promise to be a loving big brother to Olivia? Do you promise to help her see goodness everywhere? Do you promise to teach her all you can and learn all that she has to teach you? Most of all, do you promise to play with her, practice fighting with her, have fun with her, and be by her side through all the years of your lives? If so, please say, I do. Nicely done, Liam. Olivia is ready to go. Olivia has her four grandparents with her today, Jeanette, Wayne, Lupe, and Phil, AKA Grandma, Grandpa, Abue, and G-Dog. Would Olivia's grandparents please stand? You have loved not only this child, but also her parents, with a love that survived and grew through every phase and awkward stage, through sleepless nights of worry, through accomplishment and joy. Your children are on a journey you know well. Bless them and your grandchild, no matter what, with your presence, wisdom, and support. To Olivia's grandparents, I ask, do you pledge unconditional love, abounding playtime, understanding ears, and sanctuary within your very arms? If so, please say we do.
We do.
You may be seated.
Oh, it is a joyous moment when we join with children and parents in the celebration of baptism. Would the congregation please rise in body or in spirit as you're able? Do you, the members of the congregational family, receive Olivia into your love and care? Do you join her parents, Mark and Alicia, in sharing responsibility to nurture the character and spirit of this flowering new person? Do you offer the sheltering arms of this fellowship to these parents and this child? If so, I invite you to declare the promise printed in the bulletin and on your screen. Olivia, we welcome you into the family of faith. God grant you strength for life's journey, joy in your faith, the freedom of love, and the hope of new life in Jesus Christ, who makes us one. Thank you. You can be seated, but I'm going to ask the kids to keep standing up. So I invite all of the children, if you, however you identify yourself, if you're a child, you may stand up. This promise is for you. You are closest in age to Olivia and will be working and playing and learning side by side with her when she comes to this church. As she grows, she will look to you. Will you be kind and fair to her? Will you be a friend to her? Will you show her the best in you, that she may discover the best in herself? If you promise to do these things, please answer, I will.
I will.
Thank you. You may be seated. She is ready.
Olivia, I appreciate that you are ready, but first, would you be willing to run around the congregation with me? It's the running time. Are you ready? Olivia, which way should we go first? This way? We'll go this way. Olivia, we are running through your family of faith. They welcome you and your swift, go left, there we go, your swift feet and your sense of what matters to you and the way in which you know your own mind. They will respect your lively spirit, and they will delight in all that you are and all that you will become. Amen.
Amen.
After the ancient custom, we use water in our celebration. It speaks of the affinity we have to the natural order. It's a sign of purity. It quenches the body's thirst. Quite literally, it sustains life. In this rite, it symbolizes the water of life abundant for which humankind has thirsted through all the ages. Let us join together in prayer to bless the waters of baptism. Olivia, this is when I make a big mess. Are you ready? All right, watch the mess. God, whose love flows like water, swirl around us with your joy. Flood us with your hope. Let us drift on your peace. God, whose love flows like water, you surround each of us in an ocean of love and connect us one to the other, creating a dynamic family. God, whose love flows like water, you are the clear, cool pond that cleanses and refreshes our body, mind, and spirit, making us new. God, whose love flows like water, bless this water by your spirit. Let it be a symbol for us all, and especially for Olivia, that you are the water of life. Amen.
Amen.
What name have you chosen for this child?
Olivia Lise Serretter.
Child, your name was chosen for you with care and love. In this circle of friends and family, you are named Olivia Lise Serretter. May your name be spoken with love throughout all your years. Olivia, this is the big finish. Are you ready? We're going to put water on your head now. Is that okay? Olivia, I baptize you in the name of God the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and I dedicate you to a life of beauty, truth, and love in abundance.
Amen. Amen. So, we have a tradition in our congregation of presenting a book to a child at their baptism. So on this occasion of your baptism, Olivia, this is a book that will speak to how much God loves you and the dreams that God has for you. So let us bring our hearts together to pray for Olivia. God, as we look into the face of this child, we remember again that life is a gift. It is a mystery. It is sacred. We pray in thanksgiving for the new life that has been born into this family and community. May Olivia's days be full of love, and may she grow up sure and loving, kind and strong. We pray for her parents, Alicia and Mark. Give them courage and patience and great joy as they help their child to grow. God, let your grace and love fall on Olivia like gentle breezes and give her inner strength and peace and joy for the journey ahead. Amen.
Why didn't you just tell her all we had to do was hand her a book? We extinguish Olivia's baptismal candle, knowing the light of God continues to burn brightly in her very being. And as our kids get ready for Sunday school, may they feel that light within them, a source of comfort and peace. Amen. Amen.
Children! Joseph fell asleep surprisingly quickly. When your life falls apart, you'd expect to toss and turn a bit, staring at the ceiling, wondering where things went wrong, your thoughts going in a hell loop. But Joseph fell right to sleep. Maybe he was just so physically and emotionally exhausted. When Mary asked to meet, he'd practically skipped off to her house, eager to spend more time with this young woman he was just starting to get to know, but already liked for her strong opinions and quick laugh. Their parents had done a good job arranging a marriage that brought together two people with different personalities, Mary more outgoing, Joseph on the quieter side, but shared values, little interest in following the crowd, and a commitment to doing the right thing. That's why Joseph couldn't understand at all how Mary ended up pregnant. Breaking their commitment to each other didn't fit with what he knew of her, and it didn't help that she wasn't offering any explanation. For a moment, he wondered if something terrible had happened, but in the end, he decided it didn't matter. Mary was pregnant, Joseph was humiliated, the wedding was off. Joseph hadn't figured out how to tell anyone yet, even his parents. As someone who had a lifelong interest in God's law, he knew he had the option of outing Mary publicly. With things so tense in Nazareth these days, he worried someone would call for the ancient rule and propose stoning Mary to death, taking out the anxiety of the Roman occupation on a young, defenseless woman. Joseph would not set that in motion if he could avoid it at all. But if he didn't condemn Mary, the news would come out anyway, and he'd look even more of a fool. He didn't really care what people said about him, but he worried about the impact on his parents, even his father's carpentry business. Joseph wished he had somebody to talk this out with, but recently he'd been having all his deep conversations with Mary. He didn't know where else to go. Joseph decided to sleep on it. If he could sleep at all, maybe in the morning things would be clearer. So Joseph fell asleep surprisingly quickly and then began to dream. In the dream, Joseph was in his father's workshop finishing up a project. Suddenly, Joseph realized he was not alone. Someone
was with him. In the years to come, Joseph would try to describe what the someone in the dream looked like, but the image shifted and shimmered in his mind. His brain settled on one word, angel. Dream Joseph seemed to take this arrival in stride, more curious than afraid. Angel spoke. Joseph, I know you got some rough news today. Don't worry, everything will be fine. Dream Joseph responded, you mean people aren't gonna gossip about this for years to come? Angel grimaced, actually, they're gonna gossip for centuries. This totally confused Joseph. People are gonna talk about me and Mary breaking up for centuries? Oh, no, Angel said. They're gonna talk about how you two got married. But how can we get married? Joseph cried. Mary betrayed me. How can I ever trust her again? That's a good question, Angel said. Trust is important in a marriage. Plus, this is really embarrassing, said Joseph. I look like a loser. I didn't know you cared so much about what people think, said Angel. I think this is bigger than all the people who think I'm boring, Joseph said. Mary doesn't think you're boring, responded Angel. I feel like you're trying to talk me into staying with her, said Joseph. I would never do that, said Angel. Free will and all that. But I do have a message for you. Okay, said Joseph. Don't be afraid, Angel pronounced. Is that it? Joseph asked. Mostly, said Angel. Okay, well, it's not very helpful because right now I'm terrified. I'm terrified about what my parents are gonna think and what the neighbors are gonna say to them and whether or not anyone else will ever marry me or if I'm gonna die sad and alone. And that's not even touching on my fear about how Rome is oppressing us and the mess our economy is in. That is a lot, said Angel. I know, said Joseph. What am I supposed to do? There is a little more to the message, said Angel. Thank goodness, said Joseph, let's hear it. Don't be afraid to marry Mary. Joseph groaned. The one thing I'm more afraid of than not marrying Mary is actually marrying Mary. I get that it's tricky, said Angel. Right, said Joseph. I appreciate the message, but I'm not doing it. I'm not marrying Mary. No? Asked Angel. No, said Joseph with finality. Well, that's that, said Angel, turning to go. It's your choice, and you've made up your mind. That's right, said Joseph, returning to his carpentry project. Angel was heading to the door, then suddenly turned. Just one more thing, said Angel. Mm-hmm, responded a distracted dream Joseph. What if I told you, said Angel in an offhand way, what if I told you that the child Mary is carrying is the Messiah, the child of God, who will save all people? Joseph dropped his tools. What? Oh my God, it all makes sense now. It's just like the prophet Isaiah wrote, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they will name him Emmanuel. Joseph's eyes were wide as he asked Angel, is Mary's son Emmanuel, God with us? Does that change your answer? Angel asked. Well, of course, cried Joseph. Mary's child is the Messiah. I must protect her and the child. I need to make sure they have everything they need, especially considering how dangerous the world is these days. This changes everything. So does that mean you'll stay with Mary, Joseph? Angel asked. You'll marry her and support her and nurture the child, teaching them about God's kingdom and showing them God's love. I will, Joseph declared, his voice strong and sure. I will marry Mary, take the child as my own, and show them God's love. That's good, Joseph, said Angel. I know you are a man of your word and will keep your promise. As Angel once more turned to leave, Joseph was practically glowing with his commitment to care for the Messiah. Of course, Angel said from the doorway, Mary's baby might not be the one Isaiah predicted after all. What do you mean? Said a very confused Joseph. Joseph, every child is a child of God. Every child is precious and special. Every child deserves love and protection. Angel continued, maybe Mary's child is the Messiah, maybe not. Only time will tell. But why would you make your love and care for a child dependent on whether or not they fulfill some ancient prediction? Joseph felt frozen to the spot by the angel's question. Then he took a deep breath and said with full conviction, "I shouldn't, and I won't. Whoever this child is, whatever has come before, they are mine now. I will care for the child and for Mary and show them the love of God in every way I can." Angel smiled, and the room began to fill with light. "I know you will," said Angel. "And because you will, this child in turn will show God's love to the world." Joseph awoke from sleep and practically skipped to Mary's house to plan the wedding. Amen.
As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org, and we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Okay, we're going to have a confab. Okay. Pam.
Joy in watching
Olivia.
Make her way around. And you chasing after her. Such a special.
I could not keep up. Folks at home who may not have seen the presentation of the child to the congregation, Olivia presented herself, and I got some steps in, which just, and the joy, of course, of Olivia's baptism today. Thanks, Pam. Doug. We hosted for the first time the community chorus Sound and Spirit, their winter concert, standing room only, both Friday night and Saturday. You're going to hear a little bit more about that in a minute, but what a joy to have this place filled with music, and what a joy to have this place filled with the community, too. Yeah, thanks, Doug. Sarah Beth?
It's mostly a story. Peter was here 2 weeks, yeah.
Two weeks ago, I told everybody, and a surprisingly number of people actually listened, to, you know, what would happen if every morning we started by saying or hearing someone say to us, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." So Sarah Beth's beloved Peter actually made it that Alexa would say that. He wins. And so do you. You hear that. I love that. is Paul is not in the room, is he? My beloved is not in the room. Rachel. Rachel, what's your dad's name? Tom. Rachel's dad, Tom, is having hip replacement surgery on Tuesday. This is really close to Christmas. But the surgery's been pushed off and pushed off and pushed off, so this is a joy that it's finally happening, but also we hold him and you in prayers in the midst of this recovery. And I'm so glad your mom and dad were here last week, not only to see their grandkids in the pageant, but also their daughter. Oh, if you weren't here for the pageant, we had adults in the pageant too, and Rachel had not told her parents she was in it. There's, you don't need to buy them a Christmas present now. All right, Declan. You know, Declan is pointing out one of the most frustrating things when you can like only scratch to the left and right. You can't scratch in the middle because you have a scar there. And of course, what's the itchiest place? Probably is right where the scar is. But Declan, we are so glad that you continue to recover from this surgery. And we're glad that some of the cards and presents that we have sent have helped you with that. And we're glad that you've opened all of our cards when you haven't even opened all your family's cards. Declan, it's important for you to know that at some point in your life, someone is going to say, do you have any cool scars? And you are going to have so many good stories. And you should say to them, my pastor told me someone would say that someday. Other joys. Robin. Jenna will be heading, and did she give you permission to share that? So a family in the congregation is celebrating that their child has gotten into their top choice school, and we celebrate with that family and that child, and we also hold in prayer so many folks for whom this is a very tumultuous time, right? So lots of prayers going out, but that's a joy. Lane?
Well, I just want to say I'm so happy that our AI overlords have gotten into the blessing thing. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for being my Lane translator.
That's it.
That's all you got? Okay. Did I miss any joys down here? All right. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Pam. Okay, so not all the time. So we're continuing to hold in our prayers Pam's mom, Lois, as she's dealing with many health issues. Her visiting nurse this week has ordered an oxygen tank for her to have at home. She doesn't need it all the time, but it will be there when she needs it. And I know it's scary to have another piece of medical equipment coming in, Pam, but I also think this is going to help her feel better, and it's going to be a good thing. So we hold her and you in our prayers, Pam. Yeah, Tim.
My friend Leslie is in the hospital, and she's most likely going
to
have heart surgery on Monday.
Oof. Tim's friend Leslie is in the hospital and is anticipating heart surgery on Monday. Prayers for Leslie. Yeah, Miriam.
Do you prayers for my brother
We continue to hold in our prayers all of Miriam's family in Chile, in particular her brother Alex, as he continues to struggle with mental health issues, and her family as they find ways to support him and care for themselves at the same time. This Lorraine O has moved from the hospital to Oak Knoll. She went to the hospital about a week ago, and only Friday, I think, moved to Oak Knoll. So they're trying to get her stronger and figure out what the next steps are. But prayers for Lorraine, and she has all of us in her thoughts as well. And then gratitude for the life of John Lilly. Many of you probably don't know John Lilly, but John Lilly was a pastor here. He was a mentor to me. And after living with cancer, he died Thursday night. We are holding John and his wife Shirley in our prayers. More details as they become available. But John was a shining light throughout his life, and that light is not extinguished. So we hold gratitude for John's life today. Lane, do you have any concerns?
I have a belated joy from Dee Dee for the quilt. She says it shows up great on the live stream.
Oh, we did not check to see what the quilt would look like over live stream, so I'm so glad it shows so well. Yeah. Let us pray. God of joy, may our hearts be open wide, a warm and sturdy place for joy to live and grow. May your divine spark be born in us, reside within us, move outward from us to meet the needs of the world, so there will be room enough for all, as Jesus showed us when he taught us to pray, saying, "Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Doug mentioned, this weekend, the Community Chorus Sound and Spirit held their winter concerts in the sanctuary. On Friday and Saturday, this room was packed with people and music and joy. It takes a lot to put on a concert, the hard work of singers and musicians and directors and choreographers. It also takes a lot to host a concert, especially for the first time, and I am so grateful to everyone who made it possible. But the MVP was Randy Brewer. Randy's expertise in our sound system and lighting equipment, combined with his incessant problem-solving skills and his commitment to community experiences, were the key to hosting this concert. Actually, Randy is key to many things at FCC Natick. Randy, would you make your way down here while I keep talking? I know, don't give me that look. Randy and Hank manage lights and sound and streaming in the Crow's Nest every Sunday. When anyone wants to show a movie, they go to Randy for a screen and sound. The front of our building is illuminated for safety in the holidays due to Randy's initiative and his own equipment. Randy has been our technical guy during the renovation, giving Doug the backup info for about a million emails to make sure you get what we paid for in lights and sound. And just to be clear, he does all this as a volunteer in addition to his job and his commitment to his family. So Stop looking.
They're panicking up there now.
They're fine. They're fine. They knew this was happening. So we are giving Randy some family time this season. Tickets to the Festival of Trees at Elm Bank. Michelle swears this is one of his favorite things. So Randy, I promise not to text you next Friday. Somehow we'll get by and you will get a break, at least from us. Thank you, Randy. Thank you.
Thank you.
As we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering, we do so with gratitude for Randy. Thanks to him, our financial contributions go further, and we bring the community more joy. God bless these gifts and bless us as we try to bring more joy to the world. Amen. Our closing hymn is Angels We Have Heard on High.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Following the postlude, all on site are welcome to join us for coffee and conversation downstairs in the vestry. This may be the easiest way to get there. There's also an elevator. Beloved, there will be joy only if we practice joy. There will be peace only if we make peace. There will be hope only if we hold hope. There will be love only if we are love. So let the peace, the hope, the joy, and the... What did I miss? So let the peace, the hope, the joy, the peace, the hope, the love, and the joy go forth. Amen.